Then, on August 23rd, 1939, the world was shocked when an announcement was made in Moscow that the German Foreign Minister Joachim von Ribbentrop had signed an agreement with the Soviet Foreign Minister Molotov. A Nazi-Soviet pact of non-aggression had been signed. The impossible had occurred. National Socialist Germany had signed an agreement with its archenemy, the Soviet Union. There were secret clauses to this non-aggression pact that divided Poland and Eastern Europe into spheres of influence. In fact, the Nazi-Soviet Pact of Non-Aggression foresaw another partition of Poland, with the Soviets occupying Eastern Poland, the Germans the West. Also, Germany was to get Vilna and Lithuania, Russia to get Latvia, Estonia, and Finland. What one sees is the beginning of a partition of at least northeastern Europe. There was some discussion about Romania also between Molotov and Ribbentrop, and it was also a portent of things to come that they couldn't agree about Romania with its important oil fields, and so it was simply left out of these secret clauses of the agreement. Although a Nazi-Soviet pact made absolutely no ideological sense, it served both sides very well in the short term. For Stalin, an agreement would buy time to rebuild his armed forces that were still reeling from the great purges of 1937-1938. You'll recall that over half of the Soviet officer corps had been purged in 1937-1938, a purge that went all the way down to company level. The international reputation of the Red Army was at a low ebb at this point. There was a sense that the Red Army was weak, the Soviet Union needed time to rebuild its armed forces, and that it was riddled with despondency, depression as a result of the politicization of the Red Army by the purges. So for Stalin, an agreement would buy time to rebuild his armed forces. It would also push the Soviet Union's frontier westward into central Poland, adding a buffer zone against future Nazi aggression. Soviet forces could now be moved into central Poland, allowing a forward defensive position against future German adventures. And from Stalin's point of view, what were his options in 1939? He could, of course, entertain the representatives of Britain and France, who were also still paying court at this point. But this was a far better option for Stalin than a deal with the West, especially since Britain and France were viewed as untrustworthy and only in encouraging German aggression to the East. If Hitler were rabidly anti-Marxist, the conservative governments in France and Britain were seen as not much better. For Hitler, the agreement also made a good deal of sense. For one thing, Hitler was absolutely determined in the late summer of 1939 to go to war. He wasn't interested in another Munich. He didn't want another Munich. He wasn't going to be denied his war. It was going to be a war against Poland. He didn't believe that England and France would fight. As he said, I've seen their leaders. They were worms. I saw them at Munich. He wanted to have war, and he believed that this pact with the Soviet Union would end the threat of a two-front war. In Mein Kampf and in subsequent discussions, Hitler had talked ad nauseum about the great error of the old imperial German government, of allowing itself to be drawn into a two-front war in 1914. He was committed to avoiding this enormous strategic blunder. So an agreement with the Soviet Union would prevent the threat of a two-front war. More than that, however, and I think one really has to emphasize this, Hitler believed that the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact would act as a deterrent against Western intervention in his planned war against Poland. In other words,